Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. A man entered a bar and he ordered a glass of beer. And as soon as the bartender put the beer on the counter, the man took the beer and threw it in the bartender's face. And he immediately began to apologize. He wiped the bartender's face off with a napkin and he said, "I am just so sorry. I just feel compelled to do that all the time and I can't stop." And the bartender said, "Well, you better stop. You better get some help, because I'm going to remember your face and I'm not going to serve you again until you get some help." So the man didn't come back to the bar for 2 or 3 months, and he finally came back and the bartender remembered him, recognized his face, and he said, "I'm not going to serve you a beer. I remember what happened last time." And the man began to explain to the bartender that he had been seeing a psychiatrist and that his problem was solved. Well, the bartender thought, "Well, okay, I'll take a chance." And so he served him a beer, and as soon as he put the beer on the counter, the man took the beer and threw it in the bartender's face again. And he was so astonished, the bartender said, "I thought you said you were cured." And the man said, "I am. I still do it, but I don't feel guilty about it anymore." Well, there may be some here that really find yourself involved in various behaviors, various things that you're doing in your life, and you really know you shouldn't be doing them. You really know that they're wrong, but you just can't help yourself. You just can't seem to stop. Well, you're not alone. St. Paul had that same problem. So I'd like to focus on what St. Paul had to say today, and I want you to turn to two passages. The first one is in our gospel lesson we just heard read from Matthew chapter 11. And if you'll put a marker in Matthew chapter 11 in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1518. And as you put a marker in Matthew chapter 11, then let's turn to our second lesson from the book of Romans. And that's in chapter 7. That's on page 1753. Put a marker in Matthew 11 and then turn to Romans chapter 7 on page 1753. And perhaps you'll be relieved to know that a problem that St. Paul struggled with is the same problem that many of us struggle with as well. And that helps us to realize that even the great St. Paul, having struggled in this way, can give us perhaps some hope for the future in our lives as well. So as we look in Matthew and Romans chapter 7, I want to go back a few verses from what we read in our lesson today, back to verse 14. And in verse 14, Paul writes these words: "We know that the law is spiritual." Now, by the law, he's talking about the moral law of the Old Testament, the law related to the Ten Commandments and other laws connected to the Ten Commandments. All the moral laws having to do with our behavior, with our speech, with our actions toward others and towards God. And so he says, "I know that the law is spiritual." But he says, "I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin." So he knows that the law is good, but he knows that in himself he isn't good in terms of the things that he says, does, and the way that he behaves sometimes. And so he says in verse 15, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, and what I hate I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." In other words, he knows what is right and what is wrong because of the law. And because he knows what is right and wrong, when he does what is wrong, even though he knows what is right, he says to himself, I just can't seem to overcome that. I can't seem to get a handle on it. But it does show me that the law is good. Verse 17, "For as it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature." Now, what Paul is talking about here is the fact that we have a dual nature. We are all born with what is called a sinful nature. We have a propensity to sin. We have our natural instinct is to do what is against God's law. And so because of our sinful nature, we are always at odds with God's law. And so he says that there is a battle going on with our new nature. When we become Christians, we will receive Christ into our lives. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and begins to give us a new spiritual nature. And it is that new spiritual nature that is at war with our old sinful nature. So that we're always facing that struggle between doing what is right and doing what is wrong. Following God's ways or following our own ways, which are sometimes at odds with God's ways. And so as we are facing that battle going on within us, Paul describes that as the sinful nature. He will go on to describe later on how that is fighting against God's spiritual nature within us. Verse 19 says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." You can almost hear Paul saying, "Oy vey, this I keep on doing. I can't help myself." Now in verse 20, "If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." I wonder if you feel like that sometimes. You feel like you do something and you know it's wrong, but you say, "I just can't help myself. I just can't seem to stop doing that." Maybe it's you get angry all the time, or maybe you give in to gossip, or maybe you just fall into temptation of some other kind, and you just can't seem to give it up. You make up your mind you're going to stop. "All right, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm just going to grit my teeth and get over it." And that lasts for about a week, and then maybe after a week, then something happens and you fall right back into that old pattern again. You feel guilty about it, but then it keeps happening over and over again, and after a while you just kind of squelch that guilt and choose not to feel that any longer. You just say to yourself, "Well, I can't help myself. That's just the way I am. There's just no way that I'm going to be able to change. I'm just going to have to live with it the way I am." Paul says in verse 21, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law." In other words, in my spiritual nature, I delight in what God wants me to do. "But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within me." So again, he's describing that battle about which I just spoke, about which the spiritual nature and the sinful nature are constantly jockeying with each other, seeking to take preeminence and priority in our lives. The sinful nature wants us to do that which is contrary to God's law. But the spirit within us, the spiritual nature within us, wants us to do what is in conformity with God's law. So we're always facing those choices in our lives to do what is right or to do what is wrong. Paul understood this battle because he was raised in an environment as a Jew in which you were taught to try as hard as you could to try to obey God's laws. You did whatever you could to try to make sure that you didn't disobey any of God's laws. And so the Jews and Paul found that the harder they tried, the less successful they seemed to be. And they began to feel guilty because they didn't know whether God was going to ever accept them into his kingdom or whether they were going to be able to be forgiven. And so they were always facing this mountain of guilt at not being able to keep his law and the frustration at not being able to keep it as well. And so Paul was struggling, carrying a heavy burden in his life. Listen to what Paul said, what Jesus said to some religious leaders, because the religious leaders of those days were really requiring people to live at such a high level, a level in which they themselves could not even live. And listen to what Jesus said to those religious leaders. "And you experts of the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them." That's from Luke chapter 11. And so Jesus was saying that the religious leaders were telling them how to live their lives, but they weren't giving them any instructions on how they could do that. And so it's easy for us to maybe come to church and hear the Word of God telling us how we're to live our lives, and hearing the preacher telling us how we are to live our lives. And we go away and we say, "Okay, I'm going to do that when I leave." And so we make our attempt and effort to do that, and we find that we just can't seem to continually live up to the standard we know that we should live in our lives. And we begin to feel guilty. And then after a while, we just realize that, well, we're feeling guilty about it. We can't really keep God's laws. And so then we get to the point perhaps of just ignoring God's rules and God's laws and just saying, "Well, I'm just going to do what I feel like doing, or I'm just going to do what I want to do, and God's going to have to work it all out in the end." You see, the problem with doing that is that we begin to become our own God. We begin to run our own lives. We end up feeling burned out, worn out, frustrated, and disillusioned, thinking to ourselves that this Christianity stuff is not working for me. And the reason why we feel that way is because we've become our own God. We're trying to run our own life. Oh, we'll deny it. We'll say, well, I'm really just trying to be the best Christian I can be. I'm just trying my hardest. I'm just trying to do the best that I can. What we're really saying there is I'm trying to live the Christian life in my own strength, in my own power. And when we do that, we find we ultimately become frustrated. And we find out that it's not working out. Let me give you an example from my own life. When I was in college, I came to a new relationship with Christ through the Holy Spirit. As I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, and the Bible came alive for me, prayer became something I wanted to do rather than something I felt like I had to do, and Jesus was really close to me during that time. But as I began to grow in my new life in Christ, I began to want to feel the desire to get married. And so I thought, well, I've got to look around and find somebody with whom I can get married. And so I tried as hard as I could to find just the right girl for me to marry, and I would even rehearse my conversations before I called them up on the phone. Now I would think of all the possible scenarios that might happen with what she might say in response to what I would say and that sort of thing. So then I would call and my palms would be all sweaty and I'd get all tongue-tied. And it never seemed to work out. I just tried as hard as I could to find that right one. So finally I got to the point where I said, well, you know, I'm just going to give up on women. I'm going to be a bachelor till the rapture, till Jesus comes back again. And I began to focus upon Christ. I began to focus on my relationship with Him. And as I did that, an amazing thing happened. I began to meet women all over the place. And because I wasn't trying to get married to them, I developed good friendships with them because we could talk about the Lord and talk about various things like that. And we developed some lasting friendships. And so as I continued to develop that my relationship with the Lord, I prayed, God, if you want me to marry someone, you're going to have to bring them to me. And you're going to have to hit me over the head with a baseball bat to let me know that's the one. I'm a little thick-headed, you know. So I just kind of waited and prayed. And eventually, 10 years later, God brought the right woman to me. And I'm grateful that I waited and grateful that God was so patient with me to be able to find the woman that God had in store for me. And, you know, all that happened as a result of me really focusing on putting my trust in the Lord rather than seeking to make it happen in my own strength and my own power. Turn, if you will, to the passage I asked you to mark in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. That's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 28 because Jesus gives us a clue here as to how we might be able to live our lives with more freedom from worry and anxiety and stress and fear and all those sorts of things that tend to control us in our lives. He says this in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest today? Maybe you feel burdened about something. Maybe you feel stressed out. Maybe you feel just worn out. Maybe you're just carrying a load that you've been carrying for a long time, and you just don't know how to get rid of that load. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor, who are weary, who are heavy laden, who are burdened. And he literally says, I will cause you to rest. I will cause you to rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now most of us know that a yoke is a wooden instrument that is kind of carved out and has little notches put in it so that it's designed to fit over a couple of oxen. And those oxen were designed to pull a plow or to pull a cart in some way. And it worked best as they worked in tandem with each other. And so Jesus is saying that I have a yoke for you to wear that is perfectly fitted for you. I have a ministry for you and that is perfectly designed for you. I have a work for you to do that is perfectly fitted for you. I have a plan for you that is perfectly carved out for you in your life. The problem is we often try to pull our own yoke. When we do that, we find that we're trying to drag Jesus along with our plans. And the yoke is not fitting very well, and it's not very comfortable. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." We try to fulfill our own plan, our own ambitions. It's at this point that we become burdened down with our own philosophies, our own ideas, our own ambitions and plans. We become frustrated because we're trying to drag Jesus along and have Him bless what we're doing rather than seeking to be working in tandem with what He wants to do in our lives. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Some people say, "I just don't know if I can handle the burden that God has given me to carry." But I wonder, is that really a burden that God has given you to carry? Or is that a burden that you've taken on yourself? Where did that load come from? Did it come from God? Or are you carrying something God didn't mean for you to carry? Jesus said, "Learn of me." That's vital for us to know. How did Jesus handle those things that came into his life that would perhaps cause him to carry a heavy burden? That would cause him to be filled with stress and worry and anxiety. How did Jesus handle that? We have a great example when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you know, he knew that the cross was coming. He knew what lay ahead of him as he was preparing to die on the cross. And so it says that while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he poured out his heart to his Father in heaven. He laid his burdens upon his Father who cared for him. As he did that, then he was freed up from all of the burdens that he would have to carry otherwise. And he was able to go to the cross free from those things. And so as Jesus let those burdens go, he was giving us an example of how we are to do that as well. And that is by prayer. Listen to these words of St. Paul in Philippians chapter 4. You don't need to turn there, but he says these words in Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer is the key to letting go of those things, those burdens that we're carrying, to letting go of that guilt that so often controls us, to letting go of those family problems that seem to have us bound up. Prayer is the key. Paul knew all about that. He knew all about what it was to go through difficult times, trials and temptations and all sorts of problems. In fact, at the end of our second reading today, he says that the answer to overcoming all of the things that he was not able to do that he wanted to do, and being able to do the things that he was not able to do, the only way he could do that, he says, was by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." He knew that Jesus Christ alone was the only way that he was going to be able to overcome the burdens that he was tempted to carry, that he was going to be able to overcome any of the stress that he was facing in his life. And he did that by prayer. Peter also faced many different trials and temptations and testings in his life. And he said this in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." So how do we overcome the burdens that we carry, the temptations we face, the problems that confront us? How do we overcome those things? We lay those burdens over onto the shoulders of the Lord and allow Him to carry them for us. We turn over our worries, our anxieties, our stresses to Him. And it may be something that we have to do constantly in our lives. But as we begin to do that more and more, He begins to give us that peace that passes all understanding. Are you burdened by guilt today? Take Jesus' yoke of forgiveness. Receive it. Receive His forgiveness for whatever you've done, and He will cleanse you. Are you stuck in a sin of whatever kind and you can't seem to overcome it? Look to Jesus. Turn to Him. and receive His power to overcome that. Are you facing financial pressures in your life? Take Jesus' yoke of trust in God. Practice self-control and good budgeting. And look to Jesus for your provision. Are you feeling worn out and burned out? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Are you worried about family problems? Pray and lay that burden at the feet of the Lord, and then trust in Him to work it out. Are you experiencing loneliness in your life? Remember, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Develop that relationship with Him so that you'll always know that He's right there with you. Is your life unfulfilled and undirected? Find fulfillment and purpose in Jesus. And ask Him throughout the day to lead you and guide you by His Holy Spirit. Maybe you're feeling abandoned by God. Maybe you feel like God doesn't care any longer. Ask Him to give you a sign that His presence is still with you, that He's still there with you, that He still cares for you. And then open your eyes and your senses to His presence. Come to Jesus, all who are weary, heavy laden, who are burdened, and He will give you rest. Take His yoke upon you. Work in tandem with Him, and He will lead you to those springs of living water. He will lead you to that pasture of a green pasture of peace. He will lead you to that place in your life where you will be at peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You have reminded us through Your word today that You are willing to carry our burdens through Jesus Christ, that we can take His yoke upon us and work in tandem with Him so that we don't have to do all the work, but we can rely upon His strength and His power. Lord, we know that we're not able to keep all of Your commandments in our own strength and our own power, but You've given us Your Holy Spirit to lead us to that place where we know what to do and what we should do. And by His power, we're able to do it. Lord, will You relieve those who are carrying a heavy burden today? Will You allow them to roll that burden over onto Your shoulders so that they would be at peace and free from the worry, the anxiety, and all the worn out feelings that they might have at this time? Would You take that from them now and replace it with Your perfect peace? I ask this in Your name. Amen.